When I've been with you on Sunday here, we're on a series that we're calling Try the Spirits. Now, like one preacher said humorously, that's not like Baskin Robbins. Try all the flavors. No, the word means test or examine. And our text is 1 John 4 and 1. 1 John 4 and 1. He said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Now he mentions spirits. Spirits. What is a spirit? Well, a spirit is not flesh and blood. A spirit is an unseen entity. And if you are a believer and if you believe the Bible, you must believe in the unseen realm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hmm? Yes, sir.
Earlier in our study, you know, you hear people say sometimes, "Well, you know, if I can't see it, I don't believe it exists." Well, that's an extremely foolish thing to say. We looked at the graph of even our natural spectrum of sight, and there's all kind of wavelengths of light above and below what we can even see with our natural eyes. It's there, but we can't see it. But it's been proven many different ways that it's there. Well, if there's natural things we can't see, how could we be so adamant that if we don't see it, it doesn't exist? That's a foolish thing to say. And it's obvious. If you begin to just examine your life and the way you operate and function, you can't see love. You can't see hate. You can see the results of it, the effects of it. You can't see joy. You can't see peace. You can't see thoughts. Thoughts. And that's what we really begin to get into because, like we were talking last time, we haven't paid enough attention to thoughts. Thoughts are a big deal. And thoughts are not nothing. Thoughts are spiritual. And a spiritual thing has a spiritual source. It comes from somewhere. And when the scripture says, in 2 Corinthians 2 or so, it said, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices, talking about him not getting an advantage of us. Well, the word for devices is the word for thoughts. That same word is translated thoughts in several other places in the same King James New Testament. So it'd be entirely accurate to say we're not ignorant of Satan's thoughts or his mind attacks or his attempts to influence our mind. This is where the battleground is. The spiritual battleground is in the mind. Because the mind is the go-between between the spirit and the material. Even in your own being, you are a spirit. And the Holy Spirit, who is spirit, lives inside you. But that's not material. Then you're in a body, which is material. And so with our mind, we contact both at the same time. With my mind, I can contact the spirit and or the material. Romans 8 talks about this. To be carnally minded is death. If you only focus on the material, that'll minister depression and darkness and death to you. Because everything out here is fallen and cursed. Hmm? Now, you know, we think it's not that bad because it's all we've ever known. We were born into this. But, you know, this being too hot, too cold, storms, disease, aging, God didn't create this that way. That's not a part of God's original creation. None of the diseases, none of the poverty that exists now today did God create. God didn't even create animals that ate each other.
That's right. Yes. That's right.
The violence in nature is the result of the curse and the fall. The scriptures tell us in Isaiah and other places that when everything's restored, the lion and the bear are going to be vegetarians. Is that amazing or what? This animals tearing each other apart, that is a revelation, an example of what's wrong with the planet. And the Bible said the planet itself is in pains and groaning and travailing. That's why you got earthquakes and tsunamis and tornadoes and all this stuff. The earth itself is groaning under the curse and under the death. God didn't make it this way. It was man and the devil that messed it up. Oh, but there's coming a new heaven and a new earth wherein is no curse. Woo, we've never been in a place like that. No curse where there is no sorrow, no pain, no crying, no dying. Oh, thank you, Lord. Does this sound like a nice place? Woo. No curse. No death. And so for us Christians, this is as bad as it gets. Right now. So if you can just keep it together for a little while longer, right? Finish your life, finish your course in your ministry. You'll soon be out of here and you won't have to deal with any of this anymore. But right now we do. And he's saying in this passage, test and try the spirits. What does that mean? Well, there are good spirits and there are bad spirits. There is good and evil that exists. God is good. The devil is evil. There are spirits that are part of the enemy's kingdom of darkness. And they are bad. And they are many of them. And they are influencing human beings. There are holy angels that are beings of light. And they're endeavoring to influence human beings for good. There's the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And reckon what kind of influence he would exert on you. Holy. Right? Holy, right, good. And we looked the last time I was with you in Galatians 5 where he talked about what we call the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus said, by their fruits, you will know them. You don't have to have discerning of spirits and see into the realm of spirits to know there is spiritual activity going on. Look at the results. Look at what the influence is trying to do, and you can realize that's a wrong spirit. Without seeing in the spirit, without hearing in the spirit, just look at the result. Look at the influence. So there are unseen influences all around. And they are coming bringing thoughts and feelings and suggestions and this kind of thing. And sadly, most of the world is either more or less dominated by these wrong spirits. And they don't even realize it. And that's why many people say and do things they did not intend to do. And later on they go, I don't know why I said that. I don't know why I did that. Wrong influences. Yes. Wrong influences were coming, and they did not resist them. They didn't put them on the run. They yielded to them. And so one of the biggest things that we must learn is what to resist and give no place to, and what to yield to. We should yield to the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Right? We should yield to holy influences. We should not yield to wrong influences. We should resist, and give no place to a wrong thought, a wrong suggestion, a wrong temptation, a wrong feeling. And this is every day of our lives. This is every day of our life, which is why he said, test the spirits, examine them, prove them, whether they are of God or not. Now, go with me, if you would, to the 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. How many think this is important?
Yes.
It really is. That scripture that we talked about, you know, 2 Corinthians 2:11, that he had said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we're not ignorant of his devices. We said that word is thoughts. If you are ignorant of what he's doing, then he has an advantage over you. And that's the case with most of the people on the planet. The enemy will bring thoughts and feelings and suggestions and pushes and impulses and temptations, and they don't even realize that that's what's happening. They just think, well, I just came up with that. No, you didn't just come up with that. That came against you from the outside. But one of the enemy's favorite things is to get people to believe he doesn't even exist. Because if you don't believe that these wrong spirits exist, you're not going to resist them. And that's exactly what they want. And what, like I said earlier on, though, now when you start talking about spirits, people oftentimes, they get in one ditch or the other. They get scared or they get weird. But you don't have to get scared or weird. You can rightly divide the truth and the word. And you can stay in the middle of the road in the right place. And the big thing to know is, yeah, there are spirits. Yeah, there's a lot of activity going on. But as a child of God, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. As a child of God, you got the right to use the name above all names. As a child of God, you resist the devil, he will flee from you. Now, if you're not a believer, that's another thing. If you're not a believer, then Jesus is not your Lord. Well, guess who is? There's only two kingdoms. So your Lord is the enemy. And thank God the Bible said in Colossians that we have been delivered from the authority and power of darkness, and we've been placed into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Jesus is my Lord, and Satan has nothing in me, on me, no say-so over me. I don't have to give in to him on anything. That's one of the big things about Jesus being your Lord. Everybody say it out loud. Declare it. Say, Jesus is my Lord, my Savior. Now in 2 Corinthians 4 and 3. Man, this thing keeps growing on me. Good thing we can come back then, huh? So. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 says, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. There's a lot of people on the planet today that are lost. And the gospel is hid from them. That's not just a matter, some of them have not heard it, but a lot of them that this verse is talking about have heard it. But even though they heard it, they didn't hear it. It's hid from them. Even when they're hearing it, they don't hear it. Keep going, verse 4. in whom the god of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now, the god of this world, who is that? Is that our Father God? No. One of the biggest errors in the mass of church-going people in the country and in the world is this adamant thing about God is in control. Well, if you mean God has an ultimate plan and His plan will be completed with you or without you, then yeah. But if you're saying that everything that's happening on the planet is God controlling everything and everybody, absolutely not. No. Much of what is happening on the planet, most of what's happening on the planet, is not God and not God's will and not God's plan. Did you know what? Notice what Jesus told us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, what? Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Well, if everything that's happening in earth is God's will, we don't need to pray that. Can you see this? Why do we need to pray this? Because it's not. God's will, by and large, is not happening. Think about it now. If God's will happened all over the planet today, the first thing is everybody'd get saved. Is that right? Everybody would get saved. Everybody would get healed. Everybody would get delivered. Everybody would have their needs met. Nobody would be hungry. Nobody would be oppressed or confused. So no, what you see is the god of this world is the same one called the prince of darkness. It's the devil and his bunch. Now, the way that this happened, hold your place there and go to Luke, please. Thank you, Lord. Y'all got time for a little? Brother Hagin used to call them side journeys. Side journeys. He'd say, you know, we get as much out of these side journeys as we do the main thing. When I first started preaching, I used to say this quite a bit. I'd say, now this is not my message, but I must have said that. I guess I said it too many times. One time I was preaching, I said, now this is not my message, but, and the Lord interrupted me while I'm speaking inside me. He said, son, if I say that's your message, that's your message. Yeah. I thought, right.
Yes.
Right. Just because we have a plan, that don't mean that was it.
Yes.
Right? You got to stay open. Or as Miss Gloria Copeland used to say that, somebody asked her how she did so well in a number of things they were asking. She said, well, one thing is you got to stay flexible. Got to stay flexible. She's funny. You got to stay open to change. Just because you made a bunch of plans doesn't mean it was all God. Luke 4 and verse 5. Luke 4 and 5, this is during that temptation where the enemy tempted Jesus for the 40 days and nights. And it said this was one of the main three times that were given in the scripture. The devil took him up into a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Who did it? Is there a devil?
Yes, sir.
Is he real? Are you scared of him?
No.
That was too weak. I said, are you scared of him?
No.
That's still too weak. Are you scared?
No.
Of the devil?
No.
Huh?
No.
I still like it a little bit stronger. Are you scared?
No.
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 No. He's under my feet.
Yes.
He's stripped.
Yes.
He's brought to naught.
Yes.
Jesus defeated him.
Yes.
And I am not afraid of him. Now, this is so important because fear gives place to the work of the enemy. You know, this song they were singing earlier, The Greater One's in Me. Huh? The greater one's in me. The Lord gave me that song while I was asleep. Years ago, I woke up singing that song. I was singing it. I was aware that I was singing it before I woke up. My body was completely asleep and motionless. And inside myself, I heard myself saying, I am not afraid of the evil enemy or all the threats he's made. Because we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the greater one. And about that time, my mouth picked it up. As I woke up, the greater one's in me. I got it. I don't remember getting another one that way. I was singing it while I was asleep. But the reason I bring it up is because the Spirit of God had come up in me. And yeah, I remember now what had happened. The enemy tried to scare me with some kind of dream. Our nightmare thing. That's what it was. That's what it was. And so in the middle of that, I felt, you know, how sometimes in a dream you might feel almost paralyzed or something like that, you know, with fear. Well, in the middle of that, the Holy Spirit came up inside me, and all at once I felt like I was about 25 foot tall, looking down on the problem. That's when I began to say, I am not afraid. I am not afraid. I am not afraid. Why? Because the bigger one, the greater one is in me. So are you afraid of the devil?
No.
I like that. I like that better. No. Jesus defeated him. Stripped him. The devil ain't what he used to be. He can't even find his keys. You remember that? Jesus said, I got the keys. He can't find his keys. He ain't what he used to be. He ain't what he cracks himself up to be. But if you don't know what they're doing and how they're influenced and how they bring these thoughts, then you're an easy mark. But that's why if we do know, we're not ignorant of these things, the enemy loses his advantage. The devil took him up to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Now, what did we just get through reading in 2 Corinthians 4:4? The God of what? This world. Well, how did he become the God of this world? What's going on with that? Right here is where you see. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now, that would have been the Roman kingdom and empire, which was the biggest and strongest in the world. It would have been today, it would be like showing you the U.S., European Union, African nations, China, Russia, all of that. And then notice what the devil said in verse 6. The devil said, all this power, that's a word for authority. All this authority I will give to you. The devil's telling Jesus this. And the glory of it. Now, I've heard people say, he couldn't do that. Well, then it wasn't a temptation. And if he couldn't do it, don't you think the Father would have caused Jesus to know that? Wouldn't have been a temptation because he would know he couldn't do it. No, this was a temptation. The Bible tells us it was a temptation. The devil said, all this authority I will give you of all these kingdoms, all of them in the world, and the glory of them. That's the power of them, the military power, the financial power, because it's delivered to me. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. This is not God. This is the devil. He said, I give it to whoever I want to. That's what's going on right now. Now, do you believe the Bible or do you believe the Bible? Listen to some other translations. The New English says it like this, that the devil said, to you I will grant this whole realm and the glory that goes along with it, for it has been relinquished to me. That means somebody else had it. Right? And then let it go. And I can give it to anyone I wish. The Goodspeed says, I will give you all this power and their splendor, for it has been turned over to me. And I can give it to anyone I please. It has been turned over to me. Any idea how that happened and where that happened? And yeah, back in Genesis, back in the garden, right? God gave it to man. He gave it to Adam and Eve. But then instead of resisting the devil and putting him on the run when he came and tempted them about the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they listened to the devil. They believed the devil instead of God. They yielded to him and acted on what he was suggesting them to do, and they lost it. In effect, they relinquished it to him, which was what it wasn't just about getting them to eat the fruit. He wants control of the planet. That's his thing. And he has had it since then until now. Except over the areas where people make Jesus Lord of their life. Oh, hallelujah. The enemy's not ruling over me. But the rest of the unsaved world, he is dominating, ruling, and controlling through spirits. Through spirits. Now, here's the thing to understand. These unseen spirits, there are many of them, they're real, but they can have no influence in this realm unless somebody yields to them. If nobody would listen to these spirits, if nobody would act on their suggestions, if nobody would speak the words that they bring to their mind, it would be like all these evil spirits were behind a plate glass. It'd be like they didn't exist. They can only have influence and expression where people yield to them. They have to have human mouths to say their words. They have to have human hands to do their bidding. And they cannot force people. They have to convince them to yield to it. He said, all this I'll give to you if you'll fall down and worship me. And that's when Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. I want you to practice that out loud. Get behind me. Get out of here, Satan. For it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you worship. We don't fall down and worship anybody or anything else except the Almighty God and Jesus our Lord and Savior. Come on, are you with me or not? I mean nobody. We don't worship a man, a woman, an angel, no spirit, nothing, nobody except. Except the Lord our God, hallelujah, our Father, the creator of heavens and earth, and his Son, hallelujah, Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Him only shall you worship. Back to 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians 4. What you find is there is a kingdom of darkness and there is a kingdom of light. And these are the two spiritual kingdoms that all spirit beings are in, one or the other. And if you're not born again, you are in the kingdom of darkness. No matter where you came from, how educated you might be, none of that matters. Like Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Right? And that's the only way you get out of the dominion and control of darkness. You must be born again. And when you're born again, you are taken out of darkness. Oh, hallelujah. You are made a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things inside spiritually have become new. And then you are placed into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God's dear Son. Your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Oh, hallelujah. And you are now a citizen of heaven. Even while you live here on the earth, you're already a citizen. They're working on your place. Now, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. We ought to be happy all day about this. Is that right? But that is the only way. You cannot be good enough and do enough good works and enough effort to get out of the kingdom of darkness. You can't be smart enough to get out of it. You must be born again. Only way. And he said here in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that the God of this world has done what? And what part of their being did he attack? Mind. It's all about the mind. Blinded the minds of those that believe not. So what's wrong with people that don't believe? What's wrong with them? Mind blindness. They can see what you're and hear what you're saying, but they don't hear it. Why? Wrong spirits are doing this. Wrong spirits are doing this so that they can't see and they can't hear. The mind's blinded lest what should happen? The glow, the light. Oh, somebody say the light. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Oh, the gospel is the most powerful beam of light. Oh, hallelujah. In the earth. And it is our most powerful weapon. It is the sword of the Spirit. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Before you can be born again, you first have to be enlightened. Enlightened. What does that mean? Light enables you to see. Enlightened means you got light. And you have to see that you're lost. You have to see that you can't save yourself. You got to see that there's only one way to the Father, and that's Jesus and what he has done. Enlightened. Then, once you are enlightened, you can partake and receive of the heavenly gift, Jesus himself, and be born again. But you first have to be enlightened. And so all the people that, you know, are lost and the gospel is hid to them is because they don't see it. And you've probably talked with people before, maybe even relatives. You try to share with them and they just look at you like, you poor, you know, dear, you know, you believe in all that religious junk. I don't believe. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Earth is short. There's only one way, and that's Jesus. But you've got millions and actually billions of people who don't believe it. And their minds are blinded. And it's not because they're not smart enough. It's because spiritual influences are blinding them. Spiritual influences are blinding them. He goes on to say, verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. That's how we got saved. Thank you, Lord. Oh, you remember when you got saved? Huh? You weren't doing well before that. Huh? Somewhere where you heard the gospel, maybe you had heard it before but didn't hear it, didn't act on it, whatever, but there was a time when the light shined in your heart, and it gave you the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, you saw your salvation in Jesus' face. Woo! And you hadn't been the same since. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory to God. Go to Ephesians, if you would, the fourth chapter. You'll find this. This is not an isolated thought. You'll find this many places in the New Testament. You know, Jesus said in John 8:12, don't turn there, you're going to Ephesians 4. But Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me will not walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life. Glory to God. John 1, the first chapter, talks about that in the beginning was God, and the Word, rather. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it talks about how that he is the light that has enlightened all mankind. And he, the light, is the life. Well, on the other hand, the enemy's kingdom and realm is darkness. And in darkness, there's death. So light and life, darkness and death. And what's amazing is you and I are on this dark, dark planet right now. We don't know it. We were born into this. But spiritually, this place is dark. That's why people that leave here, save people that get out of here, they wouldn't come back for any amount of money. So don't be mad at them because they didn't want to come back. My grandmother is a wonderful woman of God. She's been in heaven many years now. But she had an experience where she was caught up to heaven. And as a boy, I'd hear her say it. She didn't talk about it all the time, but once in a while she'd say it. And she'd tell it exactly the same way every time. When I was about 15 or so, I understood better. And so I said, you know, Mama, we called her, said, tell me again what happened with that. And so, boy, she told me exactly. And you could tell when she's talking about it, she kind of, you know, goes somewhere else in her mind. And I realized when that happened, she had two young children. And so I asked her this question. I said, well, Mama, I said, would you have stayed if you could? She looked at me, tears welled up in her eyes. She said, yeah, baby, I'd have stayed. I thought, wow, okay. That tells you volumes, right? Why? Because you get out of the darkness and the death and the stuff here. Now, that doesn't mean that you try to get out of here early. Or, God forbid, suicide. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. You have no right to harm your body. Your body's been bought with a price. And you ask God about it, and he'll tell you, absolutely not. You stay here till you finish your course. You finish your job, and then you can come. It'll be over soon enough as it is. It's short, short, short. But, yeah, the kingdom, this place is dark. And did you turn there to Ephesians? Go to 5 right now, Ephesians 5. This whole book has a lot of this in it, and I recommend it to you. Ephesians 5:8, he says, you were sometimes what? Darkness. Not just you were in darkness, you were darkness. But now are you light in the Lord. So act like what you are. Live and walk as what? Children of light. Everybody say it out loud. I was darkness. But not anymore.
I am light.
I am a child of the light. That is, percentage-wise, a rare thing on the planet. Jesus said, you know, that the way that goes to destruction is broad, and many that's going that way. but straight and narrow, and relatively few that find that way. And when you're talking about billions, even a million wouldn't be a lot compared to billions. And so most of the world is in this darkness, and most of the world inside, they're not just darkness around their mind, inside is darkness. Unless you've been born again, that's how it is. But if you've been born again, I want to see a hand of everyone that's been born again. Yeah. If you've been born of God, you're an overcomer.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. And you are born of light. God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. So if you are born of light, what are you? I'm light. I'm light on the inside. Hallelujah. And if I walk like that, that's why He says, if you are, then walk like a child. Act like what you are. Then light will come out of your mouth. Light will come out of your eyes. This morning, right now, I'm not just sharing with you my opinions and what I think. I'm reading scriptures to you. I'm speaking by the anointing. Light is coming out of my mouth right now. Hallelujah. Light. Light. Light in the darkness. If you could see way off in space, but you could see in the spirit, there would be gross darkness all over the planet except for these bright spots. There's a bright spot over here. There's a bright spot over there. There's a bright spot in Branson, Missouri. There's a bright spot in Sarasota, Florida. There's bright spots. And many others, you know. But not most of the world. Just spots where the devil does not have dominion. Jesus is Lord. You were, Ephesians 5:8, you were sometimes darkness. Aren't you glad we're not in darkness today? Aren't you glad? Come on, think about it. Aren't you glad you're not hung over this morning? Got drunk and wrecked your car? Got high and did something stupid? Huh? And didn't even think about church this morning? You slept in and you're sick and you're broke and in trouble with the law and don't know how you're going to get... No, you're sitting up in here. Saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, finding out about who you are and what you have and where you're headed. Somebody say, I'm saved. I'm a child of light. He said, you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Said out loud, Father God, I confess, I am born of you. I am born of light. I am a being of light. I am a child of light. Teach me how to walk and live as a child of the light. I ask it in Jesus' name. Now, the next verse is an interesting verse, and actually it's a bit of a thing in the King James. It says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That's actually not correct. The word Spirit, has anybody else got a different translation? Besides King James, what does it say? The fruit of what? Light. The word is phos. P-H-O-S. It's not the word for spirit. The word spirit's pneuma. So this is the fruit of the light is in all goodness and right. Well, that's what he's talking about, right? In the passage, is you're a child of light. Walk in the light as a child of light because the fruit of the light is in. Somebody said, well, I thought there is the fruit of the Spirit. There is. In Galatians 5, where it says fruit of the Spirit, that's spirit. But they're saying the same thing because the Holy Spirit is light. Is that right? There's no disagreement here. And we talked about how will you know them? By their fruits. You will know them So if it's God, the influence of God's Holy Spirit, of God's holy angels, these things will be influence of light and influence of life. And we're going to see later influence of love, influence of God. But what if it's an influence of darkness? Can't be God. Can't be a holy angel. Can't be the Holy Spirit. An influence, the fruit of a wrong spirit is going to be darkness. And the darkness is connected to confusion and death and every evil work. Now, I'm taking my time, but anybody see what we're talking about? There's two kingdoms, right? Kingdom of darkness, kingdom of light. And like 1 John 5 had said, we noticed a few sessions back, the whole world, he said, we're of God. But the whole world, one translation said, the rest of the world lies under the sway of the evil one. So, like we said, there are spots of light, but the rest of the world's covered in darkness. But it's been prophesied. I said, it's been prophesied. There's coming a time when the glory of the Lord is going to cover the whole earth like the waters cover the sea. There will be no more curse, no more darkness, no more pain, no more. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. That is not now, but it's coming. I said it's coming. He said the fruit of light. This verse 9 is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. There are places we don't need to go. There are things we don't need to be involved in. And mostly because of what you can't see that's there. What you can't see. You know, there are clubs and bars and a lot of this kind of stuff. It's not just the people. If you could have your eyes opened and see when that thing is really hopping and things are jumping, evil spirits everywhere. And really spiritually nasty. Nasty spiritually. You know, you're a holy child of God. The Holy Spirit travels with you. Got no business in there. Right? Got no business in there. Got no business dealing with that. He said to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it's a shame even to speak of those things that are done of them in secret. We're not even supposed to talk about what they do. Not even supposed to talk about it. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatever does make manifest is light. Or you can say it like this. Whatever shows things up. Whatever enables you to see what's there. Well, that's light. I mean, the reason you can see me and I can see you is because we got light. Right? And he said, all things are reproved or made manifest by the light. Whatever does make manifest is light. Wherefore, he says, awake, thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Why would he need to say this? Because there's a lot of Christians that are asleep in darkness around them. Now, they're not a child of the enemy, but they don't feed their spirit, so their spirit is weak, and they feed their flesh and their ungodly mind. And so if somebody's in a dead sleep from across the room and you lay a dead person beside them, they look the same. Is that right? No movement, especially if you position them the same. They're laid straight, hands up. And from across the room, you say, we got two dead people over there. No, one of them's not dead. They're just asleep. But they look like they're dead. A number of Christians, that's where they are. They were born again years ago, but they've not grown. They don't act like children of light. They don't walk in the light. They're spiritually asleep. Not dead. They've been born again, but they're asleep. And if you're asleep, how much light are you seeing? Your eyes are closed. So, in effect, you're in the dark. Even though you're not a child of the dark. Because you got your eyes closed. The Lord said to me years ago in a time of prayer, He said, Keith, most of the world is either dead or asleep. Talking about spiritually. Most of the world is either dead or asleep spiritually. There are some who are alive and awake. Hallelujah. Awake means you know what's going on. You are aware of what's happening and you are engaged. Say it out loud. I'm alive. And I'm awake. He said, awake those that sleep and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. You don't have to turn there, but just another scripture that says, 1 Thessalonians 5:5, you are all the children of light. He was talking to the church in Thessalonica. And you are the children of the day. We are not of the night, and we are not of darkness. 1 Peter 2:7 says, you are a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar, a rare and precious people, that you should show forth the praises of Him. Come on, what did He do? He called you out of darkness into His marvelous. It's wonderful over here in the light. I said, it's wonderful. It's marvelous over here in the light. Glory to God. Glory to God. Go to 1 John. Chapter 1, 1 John 1. Hope you can come back, because we just got to point 1. Point 1.5. But is this important? Is this, there's a kingdom of darkness. There's a kingdom of light. Well, there are a lot of spirits that are spirits of darkness. And they are influencing human beings with dark things. Dark thoughts, dark feelings, dark suggestions, on and on. They'll influence you, too, if you'll listen to them. But everybody say, I don't.
I don't.
I refuse to.
I refuse.
And then, praise God, there is the Holy Spirit, the greater one on the inside of you. If you'll listen to Him, He will bring God's thoughts to you. Well, that's what God's words are containers of His thoughts. So He brings His thoughts, His direction, His influence, and if you yield to Him, the fruit of it will be holy and light and good and right. In 1 John 1, you know, our text is in chapter 4, and if you'll notice, we've referred to other scriptures like chapter 5, and this whole little book, 1 John, just 5 little short chapters, deals a lot with this subject of light and darkness and life and death and also love and hate. In 1 John 1, let's just start with verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, our hands have handled, of the word of life. What's this talking about? What's John talking about? Jesus. He said, we saw Him. We ate with Him. We listened to Him. We touched Him. He could say, I leaned my head on His chest. Right? But what does He call Him? Not just my buddy, the word of life. Hallelujah. Verse 2, for the life was manifested. The life. Now again, what have we been talking about? The light. gives life, and the darkness brings death. So when you're talking about the life of God, you are talking about the light of God. They're inseparable. The life was manifested. Well, the very word manifest means to make it where you can see. And we have seen it. And we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested or shown to us. Keep going. That which we have seen and heard declare we to you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. All these and these things we write to you, to what end? That your joy, and you got to keep this in mind in what he's writing after this. He's saying the reason I'm writing to you, and the reason I'm bringing these things to you to show you and to remind you or reveal you is so that your joy may be full. When you're in darkness, you don't have joy. When you're oppressed, death's working in you, there's no joy. The Lord wants us to have joy. This is a big part of our witness, right? If we have joy in this dark world with all the bad stuff going on around, how? How can we have joy? Because we are children of the light. Hallelujah. We're not living under the oppression of this world's darkness. We're living in the light. And the light gives you joy. And your joy is your strength. Keep going. This is the message that we've heard of him then, and we declare it to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, the Weiss translation says it like this, not even one particle. Emphasizing what the words mean. When he says no darkness at all, he's saying absolute zero darkness, not one particle. God doesn't have a dark side. He didn't have a single particle of darkness anywhere about him. He is light. All light, only light. Say it out loud, God is light. God is light. See, he goes on to say then, if we say we have fellowship with him and we're walking in darkness, that's a problem. That's an inconsistency. Because if we're walking with the light, where do we get this darkness? Didn't get it from God. He has none. If we're walking in darkness and we say, yeah, but I'm only fellowshipping with the Father. He said, no, you're lying. Why? Well, that darkness came from somewhere else. Right? Keep going. Verse 7. If we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood, that's us in God. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Man, this is such a great thing here. Because if you're walking in the light that you have, in the light that you see and know, the blood takes care of everything else you don't know. Woo! Even if you're making some mistakes, if you don't know it, the Lord only holds you accountable for what you see and what you know. Light. So a definition of sin, and this is a good one, sin is violation of light. It's exactly what it is. Remember James says, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. Why just to him, not to everybody? No, it's because of what he knows. And what you know is what you have seen is what is light. Sin is violation of light. That's why in the early days of you being born again, you might not even notice some things. And the Lord had mercy on you. And the blood kept you and spared you anyway. But then there came a point where you grew up some and you thought, huh, this is not good. I need to quit this. Right? Well, now you know. So if you keep doing it now, it's sin to you. And you're walking in darkness instead of light. But he goes on to say, keep reading. If we say we have no sin, and that's when we're walking in darkness, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If we say we've not sinned, and again, that's when we're walking in darkness, then we make Him a liar and His word's not in us. Keep going. My little children, these things write to you that you sin not. So you don't have to sin. And if any man sin, if you do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Now, all of this is good, but for time's sake, skip down to verse 8. He said, a new commandment I write to you. This is 2:8. Which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shines. Oh, hallelujah. Tell me who the true light is. Jesus, the Word manifest, made flesh. He that says he is in the light and hates his brother is actually what? He's in darkness, even until now. Now, did you notice when we looked at Galatians 5 last time I was with you, and we saw what we call the works of the flesh? Notice how many of them were doing something harmful to another person, right? Hate, murder, the list goes on, you know, lust and greed and you know, these are influences from dark spirits that's going to have an evil effect on somebody around you. And that can't be the Holy Spirit, right? That's a dark influence. And so anything that's not love is darkness. And any step out of love is a step into darkness. Any step to hurt somebody and to not care if something's hurting somebody is ignoring the Holy Spirit and yielding to a wrong spirit. And he goes on to talk about later about how Cain killed his brother Abel. Well, how did that happen? Wrong spirits. The scripture said hold your place here. Go to Genesis and read how this happened. A step out of love is a step into darkness. In Genesis 3, well, excuse me, actually 4, Genesis 4, when, you know, Cain brought the lousy offering and Abel brought Fluffy, 4:6, the Lord said to Cain, why are you wroth? Raging, mad. Now, the scripture warns us repeatedly about anger. Ephesians 4, where it says, you know, don't give any place to the devil. Well, just the verse right before it talks about being angry. And one of the biggest areas where the enemy gets people to yield to him to do bad stuff is rage and anger. And the scripture said that the wrath of man does not work the rightness of God. So it is not okay for any one of us to ever pitch a temper fit. Yeah, that's good. And if you say you can't help it, you just lied. Now, granted, if you've been doing it for years, you get used to yielding. And you can yield before you even think. But that needs to change.
Yes, sir.
I said that needs to stop.
Right.
And don't talk about your heritage and being Italian and Irish. And these are excuses.
Yes.
You've been born again.
Yes.
You are a child of the light.
Right.
And a child of the light should walk like a child of light.
Right.
And that means you are quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to get angry, and even if and when you do, you don't sin.
That's it.
Huh? And you don't let the sun go down on your anger and your wrath. Everybody say, no anger.
No anger.
No wrath.
No wrath.
No fuming.
No
raging.
No raging.
See, if you do that, you're yielding to the enemy. You're yielding to a messenger of Satan. Don't do that. And so, you know, why does the enemy push people to do this? Because he can't hurt somebody by himself. He's got to get you to do it. He can't cuss somebody by himself. He's got to get your mouth. He can't hit somebody. He doesn't have a physical hand. He's got to get you to use yours or stab somebody or shoot somebody. He's a killer. He's a murderer. And he's always trying to find who he can influence and deceive and push and get so mad that people say, well, I don't know what I was doing. Well, it's entirely your fault. How'd you get to that place? Stop making excuses. Stop blaming other people. Somebody say, no rage.
No rage.
No rage.
No rage.
No temper fit.
No
temper. Ever.
Ever.
So the Lord is warning Cain, why are you so wroth? Now, wroth is more than being a little angry. It's being like in a rage. And why is your countenance fallen? So he was enraged and he was depressed. This is darkness. Rage is darkness. Depression is darkness. And he warns him. He says, if you do well, shall you not be accepted? Is he telling him, Cain, we can fix this.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
I know you messed up, boy. But listen, it's not over. I will give you another opportunity.
Yes.
Right? And I will, if you do good, if you do right, I will accept you. Do you believe they could have put this behind them? In short, he said, but if you don't do well, sin is at the door. Remember what the scripture says? Neither give place to the devil. One translation says, sin is at the opening. You and unto you shall be his desire. You shall rule over him. That's not quite clear in the King James. But another translation said, it desires to have you. But you must take authority over it. You must rule over it. Did God see what was coming? That if something didn't change, he's going to kill his only brother. He's got murder in his mind now. And what's he saying? One translation said, it's like a lion crouching at the door. Somewhat sin is at the door ready to get you. And why is it there? Because you're yielding to this temper. You're yielding to this rage. You're listening to these lies, blaming your brother for your own failures and mistakes and getting depressed and getting hopeless and getting madder by the minute. And God says, hey, what are you doing? Why are you so enraged? Listen, Cain, if you do good, I'll accept you. But if you don't, sin is right here at the door. It's crouching. It's ready to get you. It wants you. And see, that's influence of wrong spirits. Can you see that?
Yes.
They are there trying to steal, kill, and destroy. Did it have to go that way? He said, no, you need to get a hold of this. Is that right? You need to get control of this. Take authority. Well, sadly, he didn't listen. Like a lot of people don't listen. Go back over to 1 John. And I'm closing. I think. Is this important, though?
Yes.
If you just get one thing out of this today, I want to hear you say it. No rage.
No rage.
Ever.
Ever.
Why? Because you're yielding to the devil. If you sit there, why did he say, do not let the sun go down on your wrath? He didn't say you couldn't ever get mad. Some things will bug you. Some things will irritate you. But you cannot let yourself go over a day with it. Obey the Bible. Right? And get that out of you by the sundown. Get it out of you. Repent. Ah, but they did this. Well, you've done some stuff too. Right? If God will forgive you, he'll forgive them too. But that's not the thing. The thing is, sin is crouching at the door. It wants you to do something stupid. It wants you to go cuss them out. It wants you to slap somebody. It wants you to go behind somebody's back and lie and hurt. These evil influences, and they use rage. They use it. Even to get people to hurt each other physically, kill each other. Somebody say, no rage. No rage. I do not yield to anger. I give no room, no place to rage in my heart or my mind. I give no place to the devil. Now in 1 John 2, look at it again. Verse 8. He said, the darkness is past and the true light now shines. There was a time when maybe rage was normal for you. You were a child of the darkness. Really a child of the devil. But now, you've been born again. You're not a child of the devil. You don't have his nature. You're a child of the light. And you got the nature of God. And the nature of God is love. Later on in the same book, it says, God is love. He that lives in love lives in God, and God in him. We saw three big ones today. God is light. God is life. God is love. Huh? So what's the fruit of the Spirit of God? Life, light, love. An enemy, darkness, hate. Right?
Yeah.
All the death. So keep reading. He that says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. I started saying this years ago, you know, man, people got really wound up in politics these last several years.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
And I'm telling you, church-going people, they begin to hate people on the other side of the aisle. That's not okay.
No.
And I begin to say, you know, I said it over the congregation and I say it over myself once in a while. If it's hate, I don't participate.
That's good.
Right? If there's hate,
yep.
I don't. Come on, I want to hear you say it. If it's hate, I don't participate. And you can tell when people cross the line. I had the privilege of working at Brother Hagin's, Kenneth Hagin's healing school for a number of years. And, years. So over the years, I saw miracles. And then I also saw people that didn't receive their healing. I saw both. Well, you know, people not receiving a healing doesn't prove the will of God any more than people not being born again and receiving Jesus means that it's God's will for them to be lost. And, there was a man who was a long time partner, strong partner of Brother Hagin's ministry. And I mean, he was a personal friend of many of the people. He was an elder and in so many ways, such a nice guy. And he had been kind of a pillar for the ministry for years and years before I ever came. But he had a terminal, what they counted, you know, incurable disease. And so he came to healing school where I was working. And he was with us for months. But he wasn't improving. And I knew that wasn't right. And so I got to, one day in prayer, I brought him up to the Lord specifically. I said, Lord, what's going on with this? I mean, this man's been around the Word a lot longer than I have. And I know this, him suffering with this disease is not your perfect will. How can we help him? I'm asking you for help. And I prayed and I prayed in the Spirit about it. And it wasn't, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks after that. He was in the service with us. And we were leaving to go after the service, go out of the building. And he was there in the foyer. And I saw him. I spoke to him. He was just as pleasant like he always was. So nice. And something came up. What was it about? Oh, yeah, something came up. Somebody had done us wrong on a financial thing that he knew about. It. He heard about it. And I said, well, you know. And then he looked at me and he started sharing with me. He had owned this business that was really prosperous. And somebody had betrayed him and stolen a bunch of his money and business. And he started telling me about that. And as he did, his face changed. And he got harder and harder and harder. And he said, I'm telling you, you may think it sounds strange, but if that guy was here today, I'd probably shoot him. He said, if I had a bazooka, I'd blast his house with it. He worked himself up into a rage. And while he's doing that, the Lord prompted him. He said, see, you asked me why. That's why. And yet you wouldn't know that. I had been around him for years, off and on in meetings. I wouldn't have thought that about him. But he was carrying that bitterness and that unforgiveness. And I mean, when that came up to him, he went into a rage. I mean, he said, if I had a tank. I thought, where do you come up with a thought like that? If I had a tank, I'd blow his house away. That is not how a child of the light thinks and talks. And if you won't forgive, you won't be forgiven. And if your heart condemns you, you don't have confidence toward God. It's not that God's withholding from you. Your faith won't work. Faith works by love. Oh, come on. Can you see this? Another trick of the enemy. Why'd I stop and tell you that story? No rage. No rage. No bitterness. No holding things against people. Anger and bitterness. These are evidences of wrong spirits, spirits of darkness, lying and influencing. And you and I are to give zero place to these. He went on to say, he that says he's in the light and hates his brother, he's in the darkness till now. He's not in the light. He that loves his brother abides. That word means lives. He that loves his brother lives in the light. And there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knows not where he goes, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. And other verses talk about if he's forgiven us, we ought to forgive each other. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Stand on your feet, everybody. Thanks be to God. Lift up your hands. You can be delivered right here, right now. You can be completely delivered from bitterness, anger. These things will hurt you. They'll hurt you inside and out and can be a part of you hurting other people. Put your hands on your midsection. You'll see why in just a moment. Say it out loud. I'm born of God. I'm born of light. I'm born of love. And the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. I give no place to anger and rage and bitterness and unforgiveness. These are works of darkness, works of the evil one. And I am not of the dark. I am a child of the light. And I live in the light. And I walk in the light. Father, thank you. Go ahead, pray this out loud. Father, thank you for forgiving me. And by faith, I forgive anyone who has done wrong against me. No matter what it is, how long it's been, how it hurt me, how it made me feel, what it took away from me, I forgive them. I release them. They owe me nothing. No explanation. No making it right. They owe me nothing. And I ask you, Lord, to forgive them. Don't hold those sins against their charge. I ask for mercy for them and for me in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
This ministry has been brought to you today, free of charge, by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.